God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke, said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. I have to see something pretty spectacular this weekend, if I could just share with you quickly. Normally, we do this at the end of the program. Just thought I'd share with you, if you're a family that's going through tough times with teens, I just thought I'd share this with you. Our daughter went through a, really tough season that lasted a long time. Something very bad was done to her, and it changed her. And for a portion of time, it changed us. Really difficult season, including this run through this therapy center for 13 months, and that caused a big wedge for a while between my daughter and I. She was so angry, because it turns out that 12, 13-year-old girls don't like being locked up for 13 months of their life. Turns out. Of course, we were doing that to save her life. She recognizes that. She disagrees with the opinion that that was the case, but she recognizes it, and she's forgiven us. Saw something this weekend I hadn't seen in forever. And I remember the first time I saw it. And if you're a parent, the reason I'm sharing this with you, if you're in troubled times with your teens, there's hope. God can do so much. There's hope. I just want you to know that there's hope. In this dark world, there's hope. If you're a grandparent and you're watching your own kids struggle with their kids, there's hope. God can do so much, can restore so much. Sometimes it's just in simple ways. You know, a 20-year-old girl, 19-year-old, and 55-year-old, 56-year-old father, there's going to be separations. Daughters have to move away from the authority figure. They have to emotionally and otherwise. That's going to happen, and I am absolutely the authority figure in our home. My wife is much more the friend, and she would admit that. She's much more there to serve my daughter than either of us would like. That's just who they are. But I got to see something this weekend I hadn't seen in forever. First time I saw it was when I made the decision to go to Washington, D.C. many years ago to work at the Republican National Committee, and I was apart from them for probably 6 weeks, longest time we'd ever been apart. And my daughter was little. She was just going to kindergarten, or in kindergarten, I should say. We talked every night on Skype, and I read books to her. We did everything we could to remain close. It was at Reagan National Airport. And they were coming to move there for 6 months. And they saw me in the airport. And my little girl dropped her bag. And she ran. And she said, Dad! And I picked her up and I held her and I smelled her hair. And I don't know about you, but I can tell the smell of my daughter's hair anywhere. It embarrasses her when I say this. But really, of course, God gave us this connection to our kids. So I remember that moment. I remember exactly. I know the gate we were at. I can picture it to this day. I know there was a Chipotle right there. I remember the whole thing. That was then. During the treatment, I got permission to make a surprised trip down there to the treatment center. And it was for a good reason. My daughter didn't expect to see me. And she was coming into her therapist's office to have a meeting. And the way the door worked, I was kind of hidden behind the door. And there it was. She opened the door. There's my daughter. And she doesn't see me. She sits down and talks to the therapist and looks and she says, Dad! She leapt at me and I hugged her and I held her and I smelled her hair. And it hadn't changed from when she was in kindergarten. Somehow my daughter still smells the same to me. That olfactory nerve, we don't give that enough credit. God's designed for that. We just don't. So, it had been many years because the anger, the frustration that she had with me over treatment and the separation, moving away from the authority figure, many, many years. But this weekend, she came back from a trip with friends. She'd been gone for a week. They floated the Colorado River. They went to California. They slept on the beach of the Colorado River. Sometimes they slept in the car. And thank God she came home safe. But after a week, not much communication. She texted me. I'm going to be home in a couple of hours. And I wrote back and said, I can't wait to see you. And she sent me pictures from the road. I used to do that. I used to say the same thing. I'll be home in a couple of hours and send a picture from the road. She pulled up into the driveway and I got up to go get her. And I opened the door and she said, Dad! And I hugged her and I smelled her hair. Smells the same. Even after a week on the road, even after sleeping on the banks of the Colorado River, there's hope. God can do so much. If you're in a tough season, just know that God can do so much. God is moving. There are so many people coming to the Lord right now, and I hope it's not just mountaintop experiences, and I deeply hope it's not political. I think there are people who are coming to God for political reasons because their tribe follows God. Actor turned social and political commentator Russell Brand was baptized on Sunday.
This Sunday, I'm taking the plunge. I'm getting baptized. At the moment, I'm very curious as to what you who have been baptized feel about it, what your expectations are of the event prior, and what it's actually like. What's been explained to me is it's an opportunity to die and be reborn, an opportunity to leave the past behind and be reborn in Christ's name, like it says in Galatians, that you can live as an enlightened and awakened person. Sometimes I think of non-Christian perspectives on it, like Marcus Aurelius saying, you are already dead, now live the rest of your life properly, or the Buddhist saying, put down the corpse. All of these things seem so inviting and beautiful. I know a lot of people are sort of cynical about the increasing interest in Christianity and the return to God, but to me it's obvious. As meaning deteriorates in the modern world, as our value systems and institutions crumble, all of us become increasingly aware that there is this eerily familiar awakening and beckoning figure that we've all known all of our lives within us and around us. And for me, it's very exciting.
It is exciting. And praise God, and welcome to the family, Russell Brand. Of all those things you mentioned, only one is real, and that is the blood of Christ. You're going to have troubles. This hasn't solved anything on earth. Ultimately, it will be solved, but you're still going to have troubles. You're still going to question. And I hope those other voices, those Buddhism, etc., you understand them for what they are, false faiths, and you're now with the one true, real God. So welcome, and let us all welcome him and hope that his walk as a maturing Christian happens, because there is another side to this. George Soros and his organizations are paying the student radicals filled with teens, my daughter's age, people who follow entertainers, not like Russell Brand anymore, because he has seen at least the political light, and praise God, he's been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So perhaps seeing the true light, or apparently is. They're paying to have these Israel-hating protests, these Hamas-loving protests all around the country. I hope you saw and were horrified, as I was, students on the West Coast speaking a language they don't speak, simply repeating what the speaker said. What the speaker said was, there is one God, Allah, Allah only. That's what they were saying. They don't know that. They were just being good followers of intersectional politics and taking a knee for the oppressed people of Hamas, who are, of course, oppressing others. Meanwhile, with all of that going on in New York, meanwhile, strangest things happening. A guy who is a felon, apparently, a terrible man and deeply orange, is winning hearts and minds while not being allowed to campaign. It's fascinating. New York union leader Bobby Bartels is saying that most of his Democrat workers are voting for Trump this election.
In the past, we are basically Democrats, all of us. And after what's happened the last 4 years in this country, Democrats are basically pushing everybody to the other side. We're a very patriotic group, and we love our country, and we want the best for America. We are tired of immigration. We're tired of our tax dollars going to immigration. We're tired of the crime. We need to put a handle on things in this country and bring it back to how it should be.
I put out a poll in my union. President Trump is leading Joe Biden 3-1 on my presidential poll out of my 9,000 members right now. We are very tired of the situation with groceries inflation, gas prices, illegal immigration, crime. We're living it every day in New York City.
So when they're going to President Trump, are they sensing something else? They want order. Well, God is a God of order, not chaos. What he doesn't mention there is watching what's being done to our children. People love their families. They can see it being broken apart. Russell Brand is reaching for the vine, the true vine of Christ. I hope that some of these entertainers who are coming to God aren't doing this because they're now conservative. I hope. But maybe that's the instrument God has used to draw them to himself. God can use anything. So as he's being pummeled with lawfare, blatant political attacks, blatantly dangerous for this country, Trump is somehow winning hearts and minds. Here's President Trump shaking hands with and getting a round of cheers from construction workers outside J.P. Morgan's newest office building. When everything is corrupt and people can see the corruption, and they can see the corruption of Washington, D.C., the brokenness of it, the blatant lawlessness of it, they're being forced to make a choice. President Trump, in their estimation, is either less lawless or is being attacked for purely political reasons. There's a belief in D.C. I live there. I know it. It's a belief that us bumpkins, us simpletons, us deplorables, us Idaho Hicks or I don't know, Nashville Hicks, Texas Hicks, we can't do the mental gymnastics necessary to understand what they're really doing. Yeah, we can. Oldest trick in the political world, you're using the manifestations of governance and turning them into political devices. We see it. A USA chant broke out from the large crowd of New York union workers as Trump visited with them.
USA! USA! USA!
I continue to believe that the fix is not coming from D.C. I continue to suspect that God is going to continue to allow corrupt people to lead the country, and I may be wrong. President Trump has his problems, absolutely has his problems. He's his own worst enemy. He's sometimes a crude man. I see no hint of humility in him. But then again, people can say the same of me. In fact, emailers to AFR have said, dude, you don't have any humility. Maybe that's true. But people can tell the difference between a president willing to put himself out there, as President Trump has, and a figurehead with utter bitterness in his heart. On that topic, finally, here's Joe Biden not suggesting punching President Trump.
Think about the guys you grew up with, you'd like to get into the corner and just give him a straight lift. I'm not suggesting we hit the president.
Well, yeah, you are suggesting that. Fascinating. The juxtaposition of what the dishonest mockingbird media wants to make of President Trump, a guy willing to do violence at any moment. And that man, this corrupt figurehead, who says things like this and gets laugh lines, sometimes says it more seriously, I want to take him behind the gym and beat the blank out of him. Or says to a citizen, do you remember this? At a town hall, a citizen questioned him about policy. And Joe Biden responded by saying, shut up, fat! Do you remember that? It's amazing what Satan can blind people to. People can block, or Satan can block people from seeing God. He can block people from seeing truth. And still, God is on the march. Welcome to the family, Russell Brand. I pray it's not about politics. I pray it was a hunger for the one true God. Welcome to the family, Russell Brand and others. It's available for you too. It's a free gift of redemption. Simply ask the Lord Jesus to enter your life. Speaking of dads and teens, we'll come back. On The Disciples View, I'm Todd Herman. back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Started the program today in a way I didn't expect. I didn't expect to want to share with you so much about how meaningful it was for me to see my daughter once again, excited to see me in the driveway saying, "Dad." Maybe it's because it came out to carry her bags. It's a cynical view, isn't it? No, I think it was because, you know, absence sometimes makes the heart grow fonder. It does. And I mentioned before the break, we were going to talk about teen girls. We are. And the role of dads. Last week, you may have heard a bit of an interview I did with a guy who calls himself Billboard Chris. He goes around the world and he confronts the lie of gender ideology by wearing a sandwich board and debating people, changing hearts one person at a time. He's really good at it. Chris does this out of his own pockets. He's in Australia right now. Twitter has been threatened with a $782,000 per day fine if they don't remove a tweet that Chris put up where he correctly called a man. That's the state of things. Dads and daughters. We can make strong daughters. We can make weak daughters. We can do something in between. If I were to give one bit of advice to dads, new dads, from the pain I've had, is pay attention to the lion part of yourself and the lamb part. Don't be one of either. Be both. Here's what I mean. Is my daughter didn't do enough of earning my approval. Earning it. Now, I was honest with her. If there were things she did with which I was disappointed, I would tell her. If there was, say, a piece of art she created that was substandard, she would test me. I've told you this before. She'd create junky art and say, "This is my best work." And I'd tell her, "No, honey, it's not. I don't care for it. It's a scribbling." But what I did so much of was pour into her with constant, constant validation of how much I loved her and saying things like, "It's an honor to be your dad." Mm-mm, it's a privilege. Honor? Wow. But never did I say as well, "You know, I have a father too. Father in heaven." My dad had died. I never communicated that to her. I should have. So instead, I was pouring into her my own love instead of saying, "God loves you so much. And God has given me this task of being your dad, and I'm going to do it in a godly way." And so I would say that. Pay attention. Do not be too much of a lamb. And don't be too much of a lion. When the bad things did come for my daughter, I went into overdrive. And I went through efforts to protect her from things that meant that she didn't go challenge those things on her own with the strength of God, with the armor of God. Please don't make that mistake. Go make your own mistakes, not mine. But in this world, with what Satan's doing it to girls, particularly to girls, we dads have a unique position. It is to protect. It is to wear the armor, and it is to do this visibly, to tell our daughters, "I pray the armor of God over you. I can't always be there to physically protect you. God can always be there, always is." We have a unique position because of what's so unique of the evil being done to girls in this environment. We must speak. I had a conversation this weekend with my mother, and it was heart-shattering. Now, she's not my dad, she's my mom. We were talking about a family gathering that's coming up. There's going to be two people there, one who has been chemically and surgically altered to appear to be male. I told my mom, "I'm terrified of this reunion because I don't want to hurt people, but I cannot pretend this person is a man." My mom said the most heartbreaking thing to me. She said, "Well, I choose to validate who they think of themselves, what they think they are. That's what I choose." And I thought about this. I said, "So if I were to tell people I'm your nephew, you'd be okay with that?" And she said, "Well, no, you're my son." "Yeah, but these people are saying I'm now your son when in fact I'm your daughter. What exactly is the difference?" And she was a little bit hurt, but she stood her ground. "Well, I choose to validate what they think of themselves." Right. Like if I began telling people I was your nephew, you would agree. We as dads must speak truth. visibly in as loving a way as we can, and our daughters must see us do it. We must defend our daughters' and wives' actual existence. Isn't that bizarre? Not from being wiped out physically, but being erased. This dad speaks for every human being who knows God, even those who don't, but value blatant and inarguable truth.
Unfortunately, we're seeing more biological males coming as females, and they're dominating sports right now. Sorry. My daughter didn't run her favorite sport yesterday because a guy came and he's dominating. She has 13 CIF patches and didn't run because we're allowing this to come into our schools and take opportunities away from our girls. I'm not a crier. I'm just angry and I'm frustrated why we let an average male athlete, biological male, can come in and be a top female. You can take the times I ran my freshman year. I would have won the state of California 35 times in a row. That's the difference between a male and a female, but we continue to allow this. These girls are discouraged, they feel hopeless, and they're quitting. We need to make it stop. I'm done. I'm so done with it. And I'm gonna leave it 53 seconds on there because it just common sense and just it needs to be fixed. Stop taking things away from our little girls.
And good job, Dad. It's okay to cry. And this. Look them in the eye and say, every single one of you is lying. None of you believe this boy is a girl. Not a single one of you. And you can prove it. It's easy enough to prove. Want to know how? If I were to go give that statement, and those people in that council, that government council, disagreed, oh no, we're not lying. We think he self-identifies, therefore he's a girl. Next time I spoke at that event, I would get up and introduce myself as one of the board members. I would stand behind the podium and say, hi, my name is State Senator Ralph Norman. Ralph Norman's right here. What are you talking about? You're not Ralph Norman. Yes, I am. Who are you to tell me I'm not Ralph Norman? Who are you to tell me I'm not a state senator? You're a bigot and a hater. Sounds angry when I say that, but as a dad who's watched what's been done to girls, sometimes I feel angry. We have a very special role to play. We need to talk about porn more often. Men do. I'll share a note about this tomorrow. I'm beginning to get emails from men confessing to me their porn usage and asking for help, and I'll deal with that tomorrow. But we as men need to speak about what it's doing to society and to boys and therefore to girls. This is also very connected, and it's so uncomfortable to speak of, isn't it? Isn't it? But Satan operates in the darkness. That's where he likes to do his work. Not everyone will stay in the darkness. There are, in fact, Republican leaders, and I am calling and laying down a marker. This program, courtesy of God, and his great, great provision to Brother Wildman, Don Wildman, who had a vision, God had a plan for building this network that's in the book. You can read the book about Brother Don. The Wildman family stewards this network. You fund this network. 180 stations. This is no doubt getting into the ears of staffers for Republican governors. No doubt. Hear this. I will know you are serious about defending families when you do what Ron DeSantis did. I will know you're not when you don't. If you're leading a Christian organization, I will know you're serious about following God's law when you make an announcement like Ron DeSantis made. Until then, I'll have my doubts. We, as men, must stand with truth. Ron DeSantis is leading the way, not just for any governor with a shred of morality and patriotism, but for every leader of every Christian organization on earth.
Florida rejects Joe Biden's attempt to rewrite Title IX. We will not comply, and we will fight back. We are not going to let Joe Biden try to inject men into women's activities. We are not going to let Joe Biden undermine the rights of parents, and we are not going to let Joe Biden abuse his constitutional authority to try to impose these policies on us here in Florida. We stand with opportunities. We are not going to let Biden get away with it. We will not comply.
So with the stroke of an auto pen, the figurehead was caused to make this diktat from on high. It's Russian for dictate. It's what rulers do, not leaders of countries, erasing women from existence, legally speaking. It's just as if he had erased children from existence. Well, actually, they're doing that, aren't they? So when this diktat came down, Ron DeSantis went to a camera and said that. I haven't seen any other governor do that. Why? Why? God created man and woman. He created us in his image, male and female. That's why enough, but if you need more whys, it's because if someone can say that they're a woman and they're a man, then they can also say they're a dog, and you have to believe them. You have absolutely no ground to stand on, meaning there is no truth. I mean, this is the stakes of this battle, has been forever. Thank God, again, God is on the move. In the first segment, we talked about Russell Brand deciding to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's a baby Christian. Praise God. Hopefully he'll mature. He'll get in with a group of mature Christian men and be discipled. And God is at work. Riley Gaines, this swimmer who's become obviously a celebrity, at least in, well, right-leaning circles, she's a villain to the left. She's looking for her moment in the sun. She's bitter because she lost to a trans woman. Nope, she lost to a man, a liar and a thief. So Riley Gaines thanked one of the five middle schoolers who refused to compete against a boy in a women's shot put in West Virginia for speaking up at a press conference.
The girls and I want to say our thank yous first. Thank you to God for giving us the strength to do this. Thank you to Riley. She's been a huge inspiration and mentor through all of this. And thank you to Attorney General Morrissey for trying his best to save women's sports. About 2 years ago, the transgender movement started becoming more and more popular. I was never affected by this until last year. I started to think, this can't be right. All my teammates are working so hard to get beat by a boy. And don't get me wrong, we've had some great girls on our team that have beaten this boy. Now into this year, all of my teammates have seen how much he has improved since last year. This made me feel like I had to do something, not just for myself, but for girls everywhere. That's when I reached out to Riley. She almost immediately replied and asked, what can I do to help? Just the fact that she was on my side gave me enough courage to go and ask my friends if they wanted to help. Believe me, all of my friends would have loved to help me out, but they are such strong competitors and I don't blame them. Luckily, I found four lovely young girls willing to take a stand with me. We had no clue that this was going to be as big as it got, but we hope that it opens eyes to many more to see that this is not right and a situation that is eventually going to kill women's sports forever. What I would love for the ACLU to have seen is what I saw after our last track meet. One of my best friends, Sadie, who works so hard on discus and stays after practice, she was walking up the hill and we could tell something was wrong. My dad went and hugged her and she said in tears, he beat me, it's just not fair. It wasn't the losing that upset her, because the girl that won first place is also one of our friends. What upset her was the fact that she lost second place to a boy. That's what the ACLU needs to see. In closing, my hope is that this case will get revisited, and I'm asking all women and all men that believe in women's sports to get on board and help us save women's sports.
It's a great statement. What the girls did is they refused to participate. They walked into the circle where you throw the shot puts, and some of them acted like they were going to throw, but they didn't, and they shouldn't. And they shouldn't have to do this. Every single Republican governor will either do exactly what Ron DeSantis did, which is we will not comply, or they will reveal themselves as utter, well, cowards or opportunists, or they're bought off. What's the other option? No one believes boys are girls. There are sick people who think that, but they don't believe it. That's why the movement is so shrill. Incidentally, speaking of that, Do you know that what is being done to kids is the very opposite of therapy? No, it is. When kids suffer trauma, they break apart their persons, their personalities. They exile parts of themselves, parts that are weak, parts that are scared if they've been inflicted, physical trauma inflicted upon them. They exile those parts. They bring up parts that are tough, maybe sometimes just one part. That happens, they become disintegrated personalities. Therapists work to reintegrate them. Christian therapists, starting with the Word of God, to reintegrate those personality parts. The gender lie inflicts trauma. Telling kids you're in the wrong body, telling girls, shut up and let the guy take your trophy. It then elevates a single portion of a person, such as, well, I'm transgender, as the most important portion of a person. It's the very opposite of creating integrated personalities. It's creating disintegrated personalities. In fact, it's creating people who have many of the symptoms of borderline personality disorder. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and it's very convenient for organizations that want to tear America apart, because when they tear the family apart, well, things are going to get real bad, and God is on the move. Praise God. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is still, as we're going through the program, back and forth, right? Good news, bad news, and at the center of it, God on the march. And God still allows earthly justice, even in the fallen country of Canada. Meet Mehul Prajapati, a data scientist who earned a six-figure salary. He had some advice for his fellow immigrants to Canada. In this soundbite here.
This is how I save hundreds of bucks every month in food and grocery. All these groceries for this week I got free. This is for everyone, all the students. They even have hot food at our university.
यहाँ पे most of the universities and colleges में food banks होते हैं, which are run by trusts, churches या फिर non-profit organizations. Let me show you what I got this week.
You can take as much as you want. सारे basic fruits and vegetables, bread, sauces, pastas and canned vegetables, which is subject to availability.
This has been very helpful to me as a student. Check with your seniors or university websites and you'll get the location of the food banks.
$100,000 a year. And he was showing people how to steal from food banks. Thou shalt not steal. And I hate to say it, but if you're going to steal, maybe don't make a TikTok video about it. I said that God still allows justice. He does. That gentleman has lost his job, and perhaps now he'll get to go to his home country, having abused the country of Canada. I'm not wishing ruin upon him. I'd love to see him come to God, but I also like to see the fact that we can still see justice even in fallen countries like Canada, which is so sadly fallen. On this program, we do something that might seem strange. With people like Justin Trudeau and figurehead Biden running things, or pretending to in the case of Biden, we actually thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think kind of prove the point that God allows these people these moments of standing in these tall pillars. The bosses don't know the pillars are going to fall. They think they built them. Number one soundbite, figurehead Biden's been lying about his son, about how his son Beau died far longer than he's been fully demented. It's a calculated and evil lie.
Every time a police officer puts on that shield every morning, their husband or wife, whatever it is, or child, worries about, will they get that phone call? Will they get that phone call? I got one of those phone calls in a different circumstance.
No, you didn't. Nope. You lie. Your son had cancer. Say again, he had cancer. It's very sad. He was in the hospital with cancer. You did not get a phone call that your healthy, vibrant son walked out the door, or husband walked out the door, went to work, and was murdered. Nothing like it. You got to prepare yourself for the loss. You got to say goodbye. These people don't. In this case, there's no question that this is a calculated lie. It's not dementia. It's a calculated lie. I was reading God's Word this weekend and was reminded that I'm not to speak. I'm not to call people fools. I'm not to say they're useless. So I'm doing my best to not deride. I'm simply doing my best to describe. There's no way that this isn't calculated. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Senator Pete Ricketts, who puts the beautiful letter R by his name, which used to mean Republican, is a huge fan of the government deciding where you're allowed to get your news.
Well, let's look at where young people are getting their news. Nearly a third of eight adults, 18 to 29, these young people in the U.S. are regularly getting their news exclusively from TikTok. Pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas hashtags are generating 50 times the views on TikTok right now, despite the fact that polling shows Americans overwhelmingly support Israel.
The same is true with the Mockingbird media, Senator Ricketts. The same thing is true. They're pushing the pro-Hamas point of view. So are the college campuses. So are we going to ban the existence of Columbia and Harvard? Are we going to ban the existence of networks? There's a lot we could do as a federal government to go after the networks because they are election meddlers. I've talked about that. There's ways to go do that legally, I think. The ban of TikTok changes nothing. You still have Facebook and you still have YouTube who are sworn to uphold the views of organizations like the UN, who does not like Israel, and the World Health Organization, who hates us. Far better that in the case of TikTok, you simply go after what they can and cannot do. The ban is for Facebook. It's for YouTube. And also this, it's for our intelligence services. I have no doubt the Chinese Communist Party uses TikTok to glean information about Americans, and I have no doubt that their military doesn't mean us well. I also have no doubt that our own intelligence services have been weaponized against us. But then again, we can't go around saying that. Those are things that are not to be said in ways that are not to be said. This is also a global issue. Soundbite number three. In today's Tower Babbling, the dictator of Australia thinks just like that so-called Republican senator from Nebraska.
Platforms have a responsibility to make sure misinformation isn't got out there. I noticed today, for example, fake images of myself superimposed on other people. That's the sort of thing that is social media has a responsibility to do the right thing here.
Well, and the right thing in his mind is to pull it down and cancel it. There have been fake images of politicians' heads on bodies since the invention of drawing. Now, yes, deep fakes are going to be an issue. Absolutely. It's going to be a very, very complicated issue. He's not talking about deep fakes. He's talking about memes. When politicians are so afraid of the populace, it's because they can sense an anger in the populace. So what are the politicians doing? They're tripling down on the behavior that is called the anger, caused the anger. They could instead, of course, consult the vine. They could consult Christ. How did he lead? He led as a servant. Servant leadership, the very hardest thing to do. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
On a disciple's view.
I spoke earlier about, began the program by communicating to you how long it had been since I had greeted my daughter and had her come and be so happy to see me. Dad! And I've talked about the responsibility that parents, particularly dads, have with kids and particularly daughters in this environment, with what's being done to them by the people who are foisting upon us this cultural revolution. I wanted to tell you my formation as a father and the things that I did well. We wrap up the show, often me sharing something about myself with you, just so you know more about the rodeo clown who hosts the show, so you can make a decision as to whether you want to keep listening or not. Where I did well as a father was my dad's good characteristics. My dad was a great listener. He was endlessly loving to us. He always wanted to be around us, always made that clear, took joy in being around us. That I did well. Also this, I had the utter privilege to watch a man who is a great, great father. This Catholic household I got to live in for a while. Gary, who has been kind enough to call me an adopted son. A radio genius, by the way. He has done some of the biggest things in radio in the world. He helped start Dick Clark Productions. He was the chief over at Capitol Records for a time. He was the chief of something called R&R, Radio and Records. Talk to old-timers in radio about this guy, and everybody knows him because he's a gentleman. I got to watch a masterful act of parenting. I consider this guy a brother. This is Gary's middle son, Drew. He went through a tough, tough, tough season. He's now incredibly successful, beautiful father of Christian home. One of the most loving acts I've ever seen. A father do with a wife who had a horrible, horrible injury to her mind. And Drew stood there with her. He's a man I admire. He's younger than me, and I admire him. I'd like to mimic him. He's younger than me. He went through a rough stretch. He'd be the first to tell you he did. And in that time, he made some terrible decisions. One of them, at one point, was in a road rage incident. It involved a couple and their motorhome. It was bad. Really bad. And the police got involved. And they came to the home. I was there. And they pulled up to get my friend to arrest him. His father came out of the house and he talked to the police. He asked him what had happened. He said, first of all, you're right to come and arrest him. I'm not asking you to stop. I'm asking you one thing. He's a good kid who's gone off the path. I'm telling you, I know this doesn't solve it. I will write a check to replace that motorhome today. He will pay for it. I pledge to you, he will pay for it. And the police discussed this with him. Well, this is very serious, and this is vehicular assault. And Gary said, you have every right to do what you're doing. You're in control, not me. You have every right. And he's a good kid who's gone off track. We've been concerned about it. I, again, know this won't fix things. I will write a check. I will replace the motorhome. I will have my son go over. He will address the couple. He'll listen to them if you'll let him. I'm asking you to give this kid a chance. He's a good kid who's gone off track. He continued with this and continued to impress upon the police that he recognized their authority. That if they made the decision to take his son away, he wouldn't hold anything against them. They had every right to do it. And he continued for probably 20 minutes. Finally, one of the officers said, I'll call the couple and I'll ask. And the cop came back. He said, okay, they're willing to listen. No promises, but they're willing to listen. So they all went over to where this couple was staying. Here's what I love. My friend had become really tough. He was with the wrong group of kids who put a premium on gangsterism. But he was a good kid. He had a loving, Christ-based home. Every single day of his life, like every day I lived there, every day he left, his mom would say, God be with you. Every day. Every night they prayed over dinner. Every day they spoke of God's majesty. and his love. And what happened to my friend is he went into this hotel room. And when he opened the door, he saw his grandma and grandpa. This is what he told me. He said, Todd, I'm telling you, I was looking at the face of my grandma and grandpa. I mean, it wasn't really his grandma and grandpa, but that's who God put in his mind, presented their faces to him. And he couldn't take two steps into the room. He collapsed to his knees. They said, I could have killed you. Oh God, I could have killed you. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And he wept. Well, that's contrition and that's repentance. And the couple were moved to tears. They let him have it. The old man tore into him with tears in his eyes. And he accepted the check from Gary. And he said, I want proof that this young man pays that back. And Gary says, you'll have it. When my friend got home, the only thing left in his room was clothes. His expensive lizards were gone. The saltwater tank was gone. The cars he'd collected had been taken to a lot to be sold. Every CD, every album, every football, every baseball bat, everything was gone. Boxed up to be sold. He said nothing. But thank you. Ultimately, he paid every dime back and then some. And now he is among the most godly men I know. I admire him. He's also incredibly successful. And he's back to building cars, by the way. God did give him that love. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak, because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak together again, may his peace that surpasses all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.